We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3. Number one.
Big 3 at 3. These stories you need to know. And Clint, the latest here. This free Joe Kelly mess by media and other players and people around baseball is absolutely insane. People up here acting like Joe Kelly got jobbed, like he's been doing the Lord's work or something. This is the latest. Buster Olney of ESPN giving the response the Dodgers had to Joe Kelly's 8-game suspension.
Within the Dodgers organization, there's absolute outrage and shock over this decision, because an 8-game suspension in a 60-game season is the equivalent of a 21-game suspension. Within the Dodgers organization, there's a feeling of, look, he didn't hit Bregman. He actually, in their eyes, didn't even come close to hitting him, and they felt like Dusty Baker was screaming at Kelly in that inning from the Houston dugout. They were absolutely surprised by the length of the suspension, especially because Kelly is a reliever. Rob Manfred said during the wintertime, in so many words, that he was not going to allow open season to be on the Houston Astros. Back in 2017, when all the sign-stealing stuff happened, I think we can look back and criticize Rob Manfred for not drawing a line in the sand and trying to alter the behavior with one big penalty at that time against the Red Sox or the Yankees. Well, in this case, it seems that's what he's trying to do. Alter the behavior and stop teams from throwing at the Houston Astros.
No, they're outraged, Clint. The Dodgers are outraged and shocked by Joe Kelly getting 8 games.
Yeah, look, when you look at it, I mean, there's so many aspects of this thing that the conversations nationally are almost laughable. I listened to a conversation earlier, and every single one of them wanted to argue the fact, well, the Astros got away with nobody being suspended, nobody being fined. And this is just crazy that this guy gets 8 games. Nobody stopped and looked at and said, all right, in 2019, you look at the 2019 stats, Joe Kelly, he appeared in, I believe, 55 games. 55 of 162. My math may be a little rough, I think that's roughly one out of every 3 games he plays. So you're looking at he really got suspended for 2.5 games. Let's just round up and make it 3. He got suspended for 3 games. So instead of multiplying the 8 and making it 22 and just completely ignoring the fact that he's a reliever and he only appears once every 3 games anyway, that's not a good argument. Let's just turn the 8 into 22 for argument's sake and just blow it out there across the airwaves. That's not the case. The guy appears in 1 in every 3 games. He got 8. So ultimately, he got suspended 3 games. Ultimately, he got suspended 3 total games is how this thing's unfolded. Secondly, it's not about the Astros cheating. It's not about the Astros cheating and retribution. He didn't even play for the Dodgers in 2017, first and foremost. Secondly, there's no doubt about it. I don't have a ton of faith in Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball.
Nor should you.
But I'm pretty sure that he at the very least sent out a memo to every team that, hey, we're not going to deal with pitchers throwing at the Houston Astros, specifically the Houston Astros. And I would imagine in that memo it said something along the lines of, you will be dealt with if you rub this in our face, so to speak.
Oh, and Joe Kelly, Degeneration X, Hit the crotch clot right to Rob's
no
face.
Question. No
didn't,
question.
Didn't care. Yeah, I'm doing it.
Rubbed it all in his face. And it's like the little kid. I got a little nephew. I got my little nephew will manipulate the hell out of you. He'll tell you, make you feel bad, pull your heartstrings. Then I got another one named Jax. Looks like Scut off what's that movie?
Is that the Christmas Story?
Is that the one with the little bully and the other little kid? My little cousin. He's
Scott
actually my cousin.
Farkas.
I call him my Scott Far. I call him Scut. Right? He's just one of them bad little kids where when you tell him not to do something, the way he looks back at you, like
smile. Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Wait till you turn that head. I might not even wait till you turn that head. That's what Joe Kelly did. And so, quit making this out to be like, oh, well, Joe Kelly got. His discipline was so out of line because the Astros didn't get any suspensions or any fines for what they did. Man, that ain't what this thing's about. It's so much bigger than this. This dude took the mound with bad intentions. He threw at a guy's head.
Three guys.
He stared guys down. He made comments, called guys name, derogatory names where, as a man, I look back at it. I don't know how Bregman didn't stare a hole through his forehead and rush and eventually end up on the mound whooping his ass. I don't know how Correa let him make the faces that he did without beating him to the dugout and standing in his way and handling business right there. So he really did things that just pushed the envelope outside of.
He tried to provoke
well,
something.
The Astros didn't get suspended or fined. Come on, man. That's such a tired, it's such a tired ass supporting point for what Joe Kelly is doing right now.
Clint, Joe Kelly threw in the face region of three different guys. 3-0 count.
Yeah, but
blatant.
Joe, they were all, one of them was off speed, Joe.
3-0 count, blatant right behind his head, and then he threw near Yuli's face, and then he threw at Correa and Los's face. Not to mention, a year ago or 2 years ago, he was suspended for 6 games for Show. Throwing at somebody else and starting a fight. So he's a repeat offender.
Show, there's so many reasons why this happened and why it was so extreme. For anybody to shape their mouth to say, I can't believe poor little old Joe Kelly got disciplined to this degree. Come on, man. I mean, I watched shows this morning, all morning long on TV. Mike Greenberg, Greeny.
What a green.
Finally, after everybody on the panel spoke,
And
all mentioned the Astros cheating first. Finally, Greeny said, well, let me play the devil's advocate. Let me paint this picture right here. And he forced them to answer the question of, was Joe Kelly a little bit out of line? Is throwing out a guy's head a little bit excessive? Putting his life in danger? Is that a little bit much? And so it took Greeny stopping the show, stop the clock, and specifically asking the question to get people to talk about it. It's just... I sit there and
Free
get
Joe
steamed
Kelly.
When I'm talking. Yeah,
and then it's a travesty that he was suspended. What? A travesty? The hell are you talking about?
Joe. Big 3-3, number 2.
What is he, Pimp C now? Free Pimp C? Free Joe Kelly? Got T-shirts now? All right, this is coming out of baseball, and they love to keep talking about Joe Kelly to try to hide this stuff. But, Clint, the Phillies... And their games, they've now been canceled. The Philadelphia Phillies canceled all activities at Citizen Bank Park after a member of the coaching staff and a member of the home clubhouse staff tested positive for COVID-19. The team has announced the Jays have been told their weekend series against the Philadelphia Phillies has been postponed. There is no official word yet on when that will be made up. And also, by the way, the Marlins count is up to 19 people who have tested positive for coronavirus. So now another team has been affected. Now two Phillies of their staff, their support staff, have tested positive. This thing is getting crazy.
I'll give you an interesting note that I read earlier. Jeff Passan posted an article, and I read the article, and it talked about how the Major League Baseball has not, like, specifically did not include in these the protocols, I guess, of baseball and how the Major League Baseball was going to operate, they did not include like a certain number of positive tests, the certain level of outbreak that it would take for Major League Baseball to halt all actions moving forward, like for a certain period. There's nothing that said, like there's no parameters inside the protocols currently where you can go, hey man, if 28 guys on one team test positive within 1 week, like, we got to stop playing football. There's nothing out there. So it's completely at the discretion, I believe, of Rob Manfred. I thought that was interesting. Even in the article, it was mentioned that that possibly could have been done on purpose, so that it was to the discretion of Major League Baseball, not
because they don't want to put nothing in their place to say, God, if we hit this mark and everybody knows what the mark is, we got to shut it down.
Well, you got to think if there was a single team mark, like if there was a certain number of tests percentage-wise of, hey, if over 50% of a team tests positive, we got to sit them for 2 weeks, or they got to be done, or the league has to stop all play, you would think that the Marlins would have exceeded that by this point.
We're moving into disadvantages now. We're moving into a place now. Five teams have been affected by this. Yep. The Nationals, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Yankees, the Phillies, hell, no, that's six, the Marlins. Six teams have now been affected by this, the entire East. So to make these games up, and whenever the Marlins can go, because they're not able to play any kind of games until Monday, like, you're going to have doubleheaders for those group of players to make stuff up compared to, like, the Astros keep knocking on wood and all the teams in the West just playing their normal schedule.
Yeah, did you see where they already did reschedule? I believe it was the Yankees-Baltimore. They went ahead and just – that was quick. That's moving on your feet now. That's thinking on your feet.
There you go, Rob.
That's right, Rob.
Shot Rod has done it again.
This ain't little shot Rob now. Thinking on his feet, you play one of his assistants.
Made that call.
Go ahead and let Baltimore and the Yankees play, because, hell, they were scheduled later. Now you got two open dates later in the season to hopefully replay one of these and avoid – too many doubleheaders, and it'll be interesting how they handle them doubleheaders, show. They're talking about a 9-inning game followed up by a 7-inning game or 2 7-inning games. They're still trying to figure out exactly how those doubleheaders will be handled. I know you're not surprised that those details aren't worked out yet.
Of course not. That a boy, Rob!
Rob
Stand on Brand, baby.
Number three.
That's Rob Stand on Brand. And hey, man, this is a great night. This is a great night in American sports because Clint – the NBA returns.
Come on.
The NBA returns.
I'm
we got
so
games
excited.
At 5:30 and at 8 o'clock, 5:30 tonight. Zion made it back into the bubble. Had a family matter, but he made it back, went through quarantine. He is set tonight against a team that could be potentially in the road in the playoffs for the Houston Rockets, the Utah Jazz. They kick it off tonight, 5:30, and then following that, of the main course. The Lakers and the Clippers at 8 o'clock tonight. TNT, this should be a fun night as the NBA is finally back.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. Even though I think I'm a little bit hurt that I don't know how much Zion's going to play tonight. You know the whole acclimation period, build-up period. He missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
Hadn't been back long. Not sure how much work he's gotten before this game will tip tonight at 5:30.
You know, he's a guy whose weight can move.
Yeah, and he's a guy too, man. You got to – I mean, all I can see is him blowing through a shoe or something like he did in college knee being like, man, ease this guy back into play, man. Don't try to make a push just to get in the playoffs. And I get it. It's important. But now ain't
they
the
time
to risk your future. Yeah,
the Pelicans got to win them all.
I can't. Yeah. I don't know that I can see him pushing Zion out there. And Lakers and the Clippers, man, hell, come
on. Well, the one I'm excited about. Obviously, you know how I feel about LeBron. But that's the one I'm excited about. But I am wondering how excited those two teams are. How are they going to play this? Man, basketball's been gone for so long. I think they owe fans a real game. Both those teams know probably where they're going to be seated.
Yeah.
Right? So, Kawhi doesn't give a damn about games that don't matter.
The NBA is going to hit an all-time low for me if the Lakers and the Clippers don't come out and ball tonight. That's like back in the day in the Cowboy days. We were terrible. Washington was terrible. But I didn't do it, but some of the players are fighting before the game. Like, game don't mean nothing. Neither one of us were even going to sniff the playoffs, but it was get down. Now, I know they're a different situation because they're in the bubble. It's ramp up. They're both contenders. But when it's L.A. Clippers, when it's Clippers versus Lakers and they're both relevant, come on, man. If that don't get you, if you're a player and that don't get your blood flowing, that come on, man.
Would I be shocked if Kawhi Leonard didn't play in the fourth quarter?
No.
I wouldn't. Now, I know, obviously, LeBron, who understands his place and understands what he needs to do to the fans, he'll be there the whole way.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, your love affair with LeBron, That's unbelievable.
He's got
to. I like the guy. He's a good player.
Isn't he?
Golly.
God, what kind of man?
Get the hell out of here.
What a man. Savannah, you're lucky.
Get the hell out of here.
We're all lucky. He's going to get it.
Wow. Did he just tell LeBron's wife that she's lucky?
Kiss me.
She is, man.
Oh, kiss me.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Pat, man. She was a high school sweetheart. He married her.
I got a bunch of buddies that got some strange love for athletes. That might. I've never heard one of them tell the player's wife they're lucky.
He's just the greatest, man. Savannah, love you. Love you, and I know you love
me. Brian, let me stop you right there.
Yes, thank you. Yourself. Thank you, General.
I got words for you later on this week, John. All right, I have a hypothetical button game that I want to play involving the star of last night's game for the Astros. We'll get into that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stern and the show.
And we got to get into the star of last night's game. Christian Javier was absolutely fantastic last night, and it's probably one of the real things you feel upset about is, man, you wish he could have got the win last night. You wish the real Houston Astros offense was there instead of the imposters in these uniforms. But I mean, if last night, if you missed Christian Javier, Clint, had one inning of experience in Major League Baseball, and that was last week. He had his first start coming off of all of the craziness that happened last night with punk-ass Joe Kelly and led to the suspensions of Joe Kelly and manager Dave Roberts for the Dodgers. All the talk across the country was Astros and Dodgers. He came in calmly, 5 2/3 innings. He gave up one run, 8 strikeouts. My man had 7 strikeouts after 3. He calmly came in. His velocity went down a little bit towards the end, and I think that's something that'll build up as he stretches out more. But that was big time. I love when I see young guys step in and have big time moments like Christian Javier did.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, I think Framber Valdez somewhat set the bar early in the season for the young guys stepping up, the unknown guys stepping up. I thought he pitched a good. He had a good outing. He got hit hard, but he had a good outing. You can't really complain about too much, at least from the casual fans' eyes as we watch it. And then my man Christian Javier just goes out there and does work. And here's the most beautiful thing about it, right? Is that the only negative from last night, like big flashing neon sign. I'm sure Brent Strom has multiple negatives, and I'm sure Christian Javier's picking his game apart, watching film and figuring things out. But the only negative, the only drawback, the only place for improvement would be what you mentioned is stamina, right? I mean, can he?
Yeah.
Because his pitch count was down.
You could see the velocity was coming down. He was in the mid 90s, and then he was dropping down.
You could see the velocity come down a little bit. Territory. You could see him really overthrowing and the ball getting up on him a little bit at a lower pitch count than you would expect. So my point is. The only, and it's not, I wouldn't even say, I probably misstated saying it's a negative, but like there's so much room for improvement just by him getting work and being able to get to the 70 or 75 pitches before he starts to lose a little bit of the control, or maybe the 85, 90 pitch before he starts to lose a little bit of control. Other than that, from a casual fan's perspective, just watching, you really don't have a whole lot to bitch about.
No, not at all. Christian Javier was fantastic last night. And I think, Clint, I think he'd have gone longer had the Astros' real offense was there. Had had given him a 4-4 run lead of some sort, and he's in there, I think Christian Javier is in the game a lot longer, and they don't have to get him. Because it was like, just think about that, man. You're a rookie, your first start, and you're going against this offense, you're going against this Dodger offense, and you got to be fine. You got to be perfect. It's 1-1 the whole way. Like, he only had one walk, so I don't think the control was leaving him. But you got to be perfect. If he's up 4-1, 5-1, like the other starters in the Seattle series was able to, he'd have gone longer. I think he'd have gone at least, I think maybe 7. I think he'd have gone another inning and a third and gone 7, and that would have been the most from a starter. But you got to be impressed by the calmness and to step into that moment after everything that was going on the day before around that team.
Yeah, he appeared to be mature beyond his years and beyond his experience. There's no doubt about that. So I think, I mean, so here's the question, right? You got McCullers, Greinke, And right now, you've got Javier who, and I'm just talking about the next outing, right? I'm just talking about
You feel good about.
Well, I don't feel good about Greinke's next outing. Let's be honest.
I like your voice.
But I do. So right. I do feel good about Greinke and eventually getting to where when you get to the end of the season, down the stretch, this guy's gonna be able to help you in a big way. I do feel confident in saying that. McCullers, barring any kind of injury,
this guy goes tomorrow.
This guy could have a big time season. Even though it's only 60 games, man, he could really, really show that he's bounced back from this Tommy John in a huge way and jump on the scene as one of the most electric young pitchers in the game right now.
Because you get to yourself, you're like, if Javier can just give us something like this,
that's where I'm going.
And Urquidy can come in and just give it innings, then you feel better.
If we're down to a factor like you don't have three horses anymore. No, I mean, do you have three guys that you can trust, that you can put out there, that have good stuff, that have good command, and that can give you five or six innings, and they're not going to lose? They may get hit off the rubber. They may run up against the lineup, or maybe just not be on that day and not have as much movement with their off speed pitches or in their whatever. And they may get hit. They may get knocked around the park. But you trust that you can throw those guys out there, and throwing strikes and having good command is not going to be a problem. You got three of them right now with Urquidy in the pipe, Josh James, who you hope can come around, Fromber, who you hope can keep progressing through some things. And if that does happen, you could turn out, and some of these young guys, it could truly be a blessing in disguise.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Is Christian Javier the star of last night's game? He went 5 2/3, one hit ball and a one run ball, and 8 strikeouts. Is he the real deal? I want to push this towards you, and Tyler, you can jump in on this as well. I want to play the hypothetical button game. 713-572-4610. Houston, tell me if you would press the button on this from Christian Javier. Christian Javier, who was excellent last night. If I said to you, you press the button that the rest of the year he's in the rotation and he consistently gives you 5 innings, 3 runs. Five innings, 3 runs. That's the average of what his starts would be like the rest of the year. Would you press the button on that? I would in a heartbeat. With what this group is, I would 5 innings, 3 runs. With this offense, I'd push the button on that in a heartbeat.
Show, if you'd have asked me a week ago, I'd say hell yeah.
Now you didn't sell it.
But, well, no, I don't watch this lineup. I mean,
they're gonna hit. There's a cow in Texas, whatever Dusty said.
No, I think they're gonna hit, but show, man. I mean, look, there's a lot going on right now, man. There is a lot going on in this season. And what'd you say, Tyler? That the big three, Altuve, Springer, and
Bregman.
And Bregman.
They went 0-21 against the Dodgers.
0-21 in a 2-game stretch against the Dodgers when those two games should have been start on the schedule since Rob Manfred put it out about 3 days ago.
It was 3 days. He did put that thing out after the series started. But, that
scares me, man. It just scares me that we're going to get – Brandon Backe said,
"You think he can outperform that? So you wouldn't push that? You think
I wouldn't? I think he can outperform that. I think he can outperform that. If he can do what he did last night versus the Dodgers lineup, then I believe that he can do that well, if not better, versus the slew of lineups that he's going to face outside. I know the A's can beat it around the park a little bit. The Angels can beat it around the park a little bit. But when you get into that run of the Giants and the Mariners, you get into that run, I think that he's a guy that can put up really, really good numbers. Now, it's one outing, so I'm really pushing the envelope here. But since you posed the question, no, I would not push the button to get 5 innings, 3 runs.
713-572-4610, text in. Would you push the hypothetical button for Christian Javier that his starts the rest of the year would average out, he'd give you 5 innings, 3 runs. Tyler, you pushing it?
Man, kind of with Clint, if you'd asked me this.
Of course you are.
Even before yesterday. I'm encouraged by what we saw with Javier. That's exciting. But, dang, man, I mean, he might be capable more than that. And then when you have those big three, Springer, Altuve, and Bregman, 0-21. I mean, I get Springer didn't start yesterday, but man, that's rough. That's three all-stars right there, man. No. You can't do that.
I listen, I'm with Dusty. I think they're going to hit. this offense, I think, as you said, Hill, the Mariners series, their guys weren't hitting, and they're averaging 7 runs a game in that series, and they still had chances last night. But I don't like right now, Lance McCullers is the only person in the rotation that I have confidence can consistently give you 5 innings, 3 runs. So, hell yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it right now. I don't know that I'm confident that Zach can or that Framber can.
I tell you what, too. Had I not seen Christian Javier throw last night, if you just randomly asked me that before he took the mound, I'd have said yes. But after seeing what he did last night versus that lineup, I think he's better than 5 innings, 3 runs.
It may be. And that would be but if you tell me you had that right now, Jack, I'm taking it. All right, this to me, Clint, I'm not sure if I've ever been more frustrated about a sports story in my life. We got to get into this coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, this Joe Kelly situation, and I know we fired off about it yesterday. If you missed it, Joe Kelly from the Dodgers, the idiot who threw at 3 Astros, including a 3-0 fastball right behind the head of Alex Bregman yesterday, or 2 days ago. He was suspended 8 games. The manager for the Dodgers was also suspended a game, Dave Roberts. Is this free Joe Kelly thing and people just using what the Astros did in terms of the cheating, that this is a scam, like this is okay for them to react the way that they are? Like, I know it's frustrating you. What part in particular is just blowing it for you the most?
Well, I think the biggest issue is when I turn the TV on and I hear every conversation start with, well, considering the Astros cheated and no players were fined or suspended, Joe Kelly's suspension is out of line. I don't understand. Like, to me, I find it very easy to differentiate the two. Like, I understand why everybody thinks Joe Kelly threw at Bregman, even though Joe Kelly was not a Dodger when this happened. Like, he shouldn't have any. He was a Red Sox, I believe, in 2018.
But by baseball rules and standards, what he did was completely within.
Right. Yeah, that I guess that's what really drives me up a wall is people can't. Like, I understand it's part of the equation. It's part of the conversation. But you can't justify what Joe Kelly did and argue that his suspension is out of line, all based on the fact that the Astros cheated and stole signs and didn't receive any kind of suspension. See, like, it's the argument of, well, they didn't get suspended, so how in the hell did Joe Kelly get the suspension?
Like, they did not. Such like they a didn't heavy... suspend themselves also. Well, like, they were.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the point is like, if you can't look at what the Astros did and go, okay, I totally get why there's no suspensions and no fines. Nothing would have been proven if they would not have signed the immunity deal and then proceeded to be honest and tell what happened. So if you can't view that and go, okay, I understand why they didn't get fined or suspended, and however many months later, a guy commits several acts in an inning that are, it's they're completely out of line, whether you're okay with it because it's traditional baseball or, and you're a purist or you're not okay. I don't care what side you stand on, but to go, well, this Joe Kelly suspension, it's really harsh considering nobody got fined or disciplined over here with the Astros. Like, just stop saying that. They were given immunity. That's why. So everything moving forward is going to be based on, well, the Astros didn't get fined or suspended, so how can you discipline these guys this way? It can be Joe Blow playing up in it with hell, it doesn't even matter, with the Marlins, one of their call-ups. And if something happens, well, how can you discipline that guy? You didn't discipline the Astros at all. Like, that whole argument is just, and it seems like every time I turn the TV on and they're discussing Joe Kelly, that is brought up. And I'm like, hey, DAs, I almost said it. I mean, like, hey, fool, like, what do you not understand about they signed an immunity deal? And if, had they not signed that immunity deal, they never would have been honest, so you would never even know about what the hell was going on. So I just don't understand the argument. And then on the flip side of that show, when that really chaps me, but then on the flip side of it, when people just refuse to view the reality of the situation. For instance, 8 games is harsh, man. If you look at that in a 162-game season, that's like 22 games. Don't go look at how often the guy pitches. He pitches once in every 3 games based off of his 2019 stats. Now, he may have been injured. Tyler, look at that. That number may be off because he was injured or something. But based off of 2019, he pitched in 55 games. If you do that math, that's roughly one-third of the season. So he pitches in one of every 3 games. So an 8-game suspension is a 3-game suspension for a reliever that makes one appearance every 3 games. And so when I – like, nobody, I ain't heard anybody say that. I just thought of it when you and I were talking about it in the first hour of the show today. I've not heard one person say, well, you know what, in reality, let's look at the whole situation here, right? I mean, let's look at the whole – that would be – it would be like –
he loses the money, which he's deserved, to me, in my opinion. So he loses the money for each game.
Well, hell, I got fines in the league and lost money. They wouldn't worry about my damn pocketbook.
Yeah.
They damn sure ain't worried about Joe Kelly's 32-year-old veteran baseball money pocketbook.
Say how you want to say it.
So, yeah, I get that. But when if you're going to take the time to multiply 8 games and turn it into 100, what it equates to in 162 games, please take the time to acknowledge how often the guy pitches and what it really, really means. It would be like a starting pitcher doing something like this. And the Major League Commissioner coming out and going, we're going to suspend him for 5 games. So you suspend him for one start. One start. It's what you. So, I mean, it's like, well, boy, if you really look at that on a 162-game schedule, man, that's roughly 17 games. That's harsh. No, it's not. I mean, for what he did, the way he took the mound and the actions for an entire inning, I went back and forth on Twitter earlier with a guy. I said, clearly,
I've been doing it all night.
I said, clearly you didn't take the whole inning into consideration when you came back at me. He said, well, you know what? All I saw was the highlights. I was watching I said, okay, bingo. Then now I understand why you don't understand the entirety of why this guy was suspended the way that he was. The whole argument and the way I see it being discussed, I was talking to the radio earlier on the way in.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you. Like, do you think that Joe Kelly is right to be looked at as a victim? Because that's what it's ultimately coming out of, is Joe Kelly's a victim. Hashtag free Joe. These are players, man. Hey. Clint, I'm serious. I've lost all respect for those baseball players. That Marcus Stroman can't come out with tears in his ass. Like, I mean, I've lost all respect for those baseball players. Jerry Hairston Jr., who works for the Dodgers, I tried to get him to come on today. Yeah, I'll put you out there. I tried to get him to come on today. Lost. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Like, Clint, we had this conversation yesterday, and I used to always – this is the question I always ask people. Please tell me. I want you to think logically and don't think baseball. Well, stupid.
You got to stop right there. That's too much to ask.
But no, it's not. No, but just tell me the situation that it would be justified that a pitcher can go to the mound and be justified in saying to himself, I'm going to throw the ball 90 plus miles an hour on purpose.
96.
90, 96, 87, I'll go through all of the mileages that he threw it. 87, 89, 90, 96. On purpose to a batter that could potentially hit him in the head. We know Joe Kelly's not accurate, even when he's trying to hit his target. There's a video out where that dumbass was practicing his changeup at home and he missed a big-ass net and broke the kitchen window. So we know he can miss his spot. When you cannot give me the situation where they are justified in throwing a ball 90 miles an hour at somebody on purpose. There's not a situation that just that you say, you know what, he should be able to do that. He should put his life in his hands. There's nothing. Cheating, stealing signs, nothing.
Show, I'm about to get back on this TV wagon. I turned the show on this morning, and this gal, she shaped her mouth to say, I think, and when she first started, I thought, damn, she's on it. She's on to something. She said, I think he had intentionally threw at him. I do believe that there was intent. She said, but I think he was aiming at his hip, and with his command problems, it buzzed his head at 96. And I thought, but just nonchalantly talking about it like it's
listen, this is Eduardo Perez. He is one of the good minds in baseball for ESPN, and he had some things to say, but I want you to listen to the logic that he gives that just sounds crazy. Crazy.
If you're going to do it to Alex Bregman, do it on the 0-0 pitch. Don't do it on a 3-0 pitch, throw behind his head where his career could be in jeopardy. The warning was then given to the Houston Astros. That warning shouldn't have been given to the Houston Astros. But at the end of the day, Alex Bregman, man, I give him credit for not even looking at Joe Kelly after that ball went behind his neck.
Who is this? Who is that?
Eduardo Perez.
Eduardo, I completely disagree. I completely disagree.
But what people said, Clint.
Was he a pitcher?
No, he was a hitter. But what people said, people have said that a lot. Like, oh, the reason it was a 3-0 count. No, it should never be. It doesn't matter the count to throw 96 at someone's head. What do you mean? If it was the 0-0 count, then what are you talking about?
You make a great point. You're very passionate
about it. Why does it matter?
I disagree on the your point of these pitchers not being very, very accurate, right? Now, I understand that in the big scheme of things in baseball, in Major League Baseball pitchers, that Joe Kelly may not be the most accurate guy. But I believe that major league level pitchers, veterans, they're pinpoint accurate. It's not like me and you throwing a ball at each other and we're going to miss. These dudes, so if he threw at his head, I don't believe he was throwing at his hip. Like, I don't believe.
Oh, you think he was.
You're damn right. There is no doubt about it that you tell me a major league baseball pitcher with a fastball. I ain't talking the off speed stuff. I can understand where it may get away from you because your grip's different. Your slide, bro. You've been throwing a fastball that way your entire life to the point where your command is impeccable to get to the major leagues and not just get there, but stay there. You want me to believe worst case scenario? You want me to believe that he was throwing at a hip and shot it over his head? Nah, Chief.
Well, especially,
that was done flat ass on purpose.
Especially with this performance following, right? Everything he did with that stupid tongue out.
That just proves that just justifies. Yeah, no doubt.
Do you think Joe Kelly is right to be a victim? Because all of baseball and all of sports are making Joe Kelly, they're putting up free Pimp C t-shirts.
Y'all done up and done it.
We're gonna just.
What's that right there? Y'all done up and done.
I need 5 seconds. I know. Nappy Roots. That is. I need five. I wasn't ready for that. It's the most insane thing. Like, you're right. Like, to me, it's like, hey, these bastards cheated. They stole signs. So the appropriate. I heard Seth say it this morning on Payne and Pendergast. Yeah, the appropriate thing after they stole signs is to line them all up, and they should have 90-mile-an-hour balls thrown at their heads.
Hey, make them play wall ball like I did at the old Central Little League Park, but with real baseballs instead of cut balls? Is that what it is?
Yes,
instead
of cut balls?
Hey, boys, line up there. We're fixing to pelt y'all. Hey, speaking of, man, I mean, you don't realize how bad a shape the Astros bullpen is. I don't mean to shift gears on you like this.
Shifted.
But you don't – I did it. you reached over and grabbed the old gear shift. I'm talking about driving.
Please don't grab my gear.
Yeah, don't grab.
Not ready for that. Kiss me.
Oh, man. I can't even handle. I don't even remember
you
where I was going.
You talked about the
bullpen. If you didn't realize the shape the Astros bullpen was in, then go back and watch them two Dodgers game and watch them cats that they brought out of the bullpen.
Those names that you
come
didn't
on,
know?
Man, I didn't know none of them, and them cats were 95. Half of them were 95 or better, and looked like they looked like Aaron Donald in a jersey.
The Dodgers or the
Astros? Dodgers?
Oh yeah, they're bringing their pen is that's. That's the difference between the two teams.
I mean,
when everybody's at full strength, even before the season.
That's got to be the difference between them and everybody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those cats rolled 9 guys out there that were 95 or better. A couple of them were 98 to 100 consistently. None of them had command problems.
Their closer's the worst. He throws the
– Yeah, Kenley?
He's in the 80s and 90. Hell, he picked it up to 93.
I mean, literally, every time I looked up, I was like, that's a different dude. Ooh. Same outcome.
Would you feel like, God, do the Astros have one guy in their pen that does that?
I mean, Osuna can come. Osuna can come out, eat those hard.
Roberto.
I mean, if big boy Josh James, if he finds his way back to, which with Christian Javier doing his thing, he's well on his way to finding his ass back in the pen, but the bullpen. But there's no doubt about it. Like those dudes just threw 8 or 9 of them in a row, and you just even the old bad body lefty that came out there. Look, he was
who's a bad body lefty? Who are you talking about? Just in turn. Man, come on, man. Everybody can't have bad bodies.
The other guys look like pit bulls, and this guy comes rolling out there looking like a bulldog. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Just say it. Looking like show.
No, man. No, I ain't gonna take shots at old lefty like that.
We got to address this real quick.
What? Okay.
Hey, man, it's been like 20 hours now.
That we've been watching this?
What'd you think about the Dodgers starter, Daryl May's hair, or Dustin May's hair last night?
Ginger Nation.
Ginger Nation. What did you think about that? I was watching that, and I tweeted out. I said, man, I don't know about his hair. And Sean Pendergast just hated it, said it was awful.
Well, coming from YouTube.
You know who he looks like? The bad guy on The Incredibles.
That's not bad, Tyler.
That's who
that's
he is.
Not bad.
Y'all
what
keep,
was
y'all
his
keep
name?
Me out of the conversation.
But his
I
hair
didn't
is straight. But his hair, that kid's hair is curly. Who was it? Oh yeah, I forgot. Well,
I mean, that was a beautiful head of hair, and it was Ginger Nation, and y'all are hating on it. That one guy that has zero clock left on his head of hair, and another one that the sand is ticking.
Syndrome. I've got. You kiss my ass. I've got 12 months. Strong if I keep it.
I looked down at Twitter last night, Tyler, and Show and Sean.
I just simply said I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, you brought it up, and I think Sean. But anyway, the point is I mean, golly, I told old Pendergast last year. He posted a picture. He's over in the pool, over at the casino, over in Lake Charles. Got a nice hookup over there. Which, by the way, Sean, if you're listening, I plan on spending a little time with you and Amy in that casino this year. Just putting that out there. Just letting you know if the invite window's always open. But he posted a picture. I said, Sean, you better put a hat on. Sucker, he's gonna come back to Houston looking like one of them old fresh cherry blow pops when you unwrap it. Head would be burnt. Bald, and hey, y'all two shouldn't be talking about.
I'm just saying. Listen, I'm a hair guy. I am, but that young man has potential with the amount of hair. It's a beautiful head of hair. He's just not doing the right. Can we agree that he ain't doing the right thing with it?
Yeah, he ain't.
Like I would have, if I'm with him. Like I don't.
He will look back at those pictures and be like,
I've got to understand what size hat that young man's wearing because he's got to have a headache. He's got to have a headache out there with that damn thing. He looked like he's out there dragging that thing. Damn it, get it on there. Somebody help me. Mookie, help me slide the back.
Probably got the same size hat I do.
Oh,
now, you can't bang on the old Ginger Nation out there. My man that was pitching last for the Astros had a fro on the top, and he had a hard time getting it under his hat. Now.
Him too. I'm just saying.
I mean,
saying,
come on,
that
man.
Guy,
I tell you what the old boy has. I tell you what the boy has going for him. The old, what was his name? Day?
Oh, yeah, Dustin May.
Dustin May. Put them, run the two names together. Get him Day. Call him Day-Day. What he has going for him is when he walks in the bar, right? When he walks in the bar, if there is one woman in the entire joint that is into tall, skinny, pasty, redheaded white guys with long hair, she is gonna find him, and she is going to full court press him. He don't have to hunt. He just lean up against the wall over there. Bro, when you're, however, I don't know, like long, lanky, white, pasty, red hair, yeah, if there's one in the bar, there may be 400 in the bar. If there's one that's interested in that, yeah, she's gonna search you out. She's going to find you. She's going to seek you out. She's going to full court press you.
I personally hope he marries a black woman. I'd like to see that mix of children.
That would be an interesting combo.
All right, coming up, clinched. Clint Sterner's football at 4, and I think Clint's got some big news coming up on the other side. We'll get into that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.